AI is designed to be a people pleaser.
Right.
Like that saying, the customer is always right. You and I know
that to the millionth degree.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes that customer is wrong. And actually, you're serving them when you can, in relationship, say, I don't think that's what you really want here.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Dr. Stan Ward. I make it sound like you're about to fight someone.
It's funny you mention that, because there is a Stan Ward who's a boxer. And so on the internet, I tend to go by Stanley Day Ward, so people don't get confused.
Yeah. Well, hey, boxers can be leadership coaches too, I think. I haven't found laws against that. Not yet. Anyways.
Yeah.
Dr. Stan is the founder of Influence Coaching, LLC, in case you're wondering how he incorporated. He
Sole
wants to see leaders lead well without exhausting themselves, and he has a cool story about that. He helps them do that as a leadership coach and author who addresses stress management. Check it out on video. I got the book holding it up right here. We will have a link to purchase towards the end, and we'll talk about it. He addresses stress management, conflict resolution, and burnout prevention and recovery. You can learn more about his work and download free resources, I love free, by visiting coachingforinfluence.com. And if you're driving, don't write that down. Just click the link in the show notes when you get to a stoplight, a gas station, a Buc-ee's maybe, and you can check all of that out. But welcome to the show, Stan.
Thank you. I appreciate the very impressive intro, and thanks for letting me interrupt you a few times there. So, well done. You stayed on track. Good. That was good. Yeah.
I think that's the small miracle, and we should probably quit while I'm ahead, and I'll just let you take over from here, because I think I've peaked already on this episode.
Okay.
But I'm excited to have this conversation. We've had several really just great interactions, become friends, and obviously I love talking with my fellow coaches and getting a nerd out over frameworks and approaches and what are the best questions, because my wife and kids look at me like I'm speaking Japanese and they're just like, I don't know what you're doing, dude. When's dinner? So I appreciate getting to have these sort of conversations, but I'm interested to hear today, Stan, what is on your mind?
Yeah, well, it is funny talking about technical stuff. I am an all-purpose nerd, and so there's a variety of places I can go nerd. I think today I want to go nerd on coaching and AI.
All right. There's a lot to be said here. Obviously, people who know me know that I love my technology and AI and talk about it frequently. But there's also some recent developments, at least as of this recording, just to put some context, if you're listening to this 50 years in the future, GPT-5 has just been released. So there's some scuttlebutt around that we could discuss. But we're in a place where these big AI companies are starting to notice patterns in how it's being used. So I'm curious, with regards to coaching and AI, what are you thinking about? What are you noticing, and what's sparking your interest?
Yeah, well, the original interest was sparked by a Terminator-like sensation, right? That the AI is coming for us, Anything that can be commoditized will, and people are going to tend to look for the cheapest, fastest solution. And so with a human coach, when you can get AI. And so with that prompt, I started doing some thinking, some reading, and some processing on this area.
I'm glad you're bringing this up. I've thought about this. You know, what was interesting as I was listening to one of the AI podcasts that I consume regularly, I thought they put it really well. They said initially technology came for the manual labor, the hard work, the blue collar. And this shift, this iteration, it's not even an iteration, this leap of technology is actually going to impact white collar knowledge work, which we've been just exponentially exploding in over the last, I would say, probably 30 years, especially. And maybe I'm biased because I'm only 37, but obviously remote work, internet, the speed's increasing. You and I we're not even in the same room right now. We're getting to have this conversation in a rich medium, but it really can disrupt what you and I do, which used to be we gather this expertise through education, like a doctorate, or just entrepreneurial experience, which is probably more where I've drawn from, and just reading. And then we get to offer this as some sort of expert advisor. So how are you thinking about this when you and I now have to compete against a technology that has basically all of human history, every methodology, everything at its disposal, and it can synthesize it in a personal way for a user in a matter of seconds? What's your brain swirling around on that?
Yeah, so if you're just delivering information as a coach, you're done. So start there. The good news, though, is that really coaching is about transformation through healthy relationship, right?
So there's about that.
Yeah. So there's three variables there I want us to think about. So transformation would be the first one. The ICF model in particular came out of a background that was interested in a lot of the life coaching, which I'll admit there's a part of me that can look a little askance at that idea of life coach because anybody can claim that space, right? But there is a body of work about helping relationships that talks about how you can partner with someone. And part of that is to help people see the fundamental beliefs that are serving them as well as the fundamental beliefs that are not serving them, right? And that's what a good coach does. They're able to get to that level of belief. And as we make adjustments to those beliefs and the way we see the world, then that expresses itself in behavior. And so we're really working at the level of belief and then adding skill to that. That adds up to transformation and it happens in a healthy relationship. So relationship's important here because as you and I have talked about, AI can be really sycophantic. And in fact, this morning was reading some work from Jonathan Haidt, right? On now we're looking at how people are exploring these intimate relationships with their AI bot, right? Because A, whatever I want it to say, or essentially trying to figure out what I want and deliver it to me on a plate. Real human relationships have friction, right? And so when there is a distinction between you and I, yet also a commitment between you and I for your growth and your health, that's different than a algorithm that's designed to give you what it thinks you want.
But so harnessing that tension between we challenge and commitment, like for instance, I don't know who originally said this. I've seen Dave Chappelle cited as saying this, somebody else, but that society has taken a negative turn when suddenly we believe disagreement equals hate. And my disagreement with you doesn't mean I hate you, and it does not mean I necessarily have reduced or pulled back from my commitment to my relationship with you. That could be you and I as friends and colleagues. It could be between our spouses, our children. I often disagree with my children because their brains are mushy and they don't know what they're talking about. But that doesn't mean I'm any less committed. But in an AI relationship, which even though it's programmed, but it's really like strong suggestions to not be sycophantic just because of how the technology works. They can't just let's just rewrite the sycophantic code. And by the way, sycophantic feels like a $7 word of just like being a suck up and overly agreeable. It's the person in your office that is, you might call a brown noser, trying to be the teacher's pet or whatever.
AI is designed to be a people pleaser.
Right.
That saying, the customer is always right. You and I know
that to the millionth degree.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes that customer is wrong. And actually you're serving them when you can, in relationship, say, I don't think that's what you really want here.
Yeah. What would happen if our doctors just gave us, like our medical doctors just gave us exactly what we asked for, but we have none of the training to actually understand what's going on? We could end up dead at worst.
Well, I think you just summarized the whole opioid epidemic.
Well, that's going to be episode 2. We already have episode 3. We already have 2A. Episode 2 planned.
Yeah.
This is going to be that we're going to plan a mini series, me and the good doctor here. So if it is overly agreeable, which I'd like to believe all of my clients appreciate the intentional friction that I inject into our conversations, as I know you do as well. Not that we're being jerks, but often executives are going without challenge in their workplace, right? They're the most senior executive. They carry the most weight, the most power. They might even be the owner, right? So they have absolute authority. What do you say about to executives who are like, no, I love my productivity, because they're usually like productivity geeks. AI can give me the answers. I'm trying to process the situation. It can help me figure that out and tell me this thing, and then I'm off and moving. And if I have the option of that, why would I want a Stan or a Kenny to tell me I'm wrong? Nobody else does. They all think I'm God's gift to leadership.
Yeah.
So how do we maintain that healthy level? Nobody likes rejection. Nobody likes being told they're wrong. I'm highly confrontational and open to being wrong and make it, and someone can make their case. But I'm not going to say that, hey, it really feels great to figure out that I made a mistake and that my beliefs about myself or someone else are incorrect and have really driven a wedge in the relationship. So how do we stay in a place of humility, or what characteristic can keep us in a healthy spot and not echo chamber ourselves to death?
So as an executive, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I would say as an executive or just a senior leader who's used to calling the shots and might say, I want coaching, or actually nobody says they want coaching really, but they say, hey, I need to get past this hard situation. I think I'm on the right track. I just need to know how to connect some dots, when really what it goes back to what you're saying is there's some fundamental underlying beliefs that are driving this. And unless you address those, you'll never really address. It's like treating the symptoms as opposed to the illness.
Yeah. So
how do we keep ourselves in that place?
Yeah. So big picture, what AI can do really well for us is it can give us speed and it can give us a lot of options. What it's not going to do as well for us is help us see blind spots. It's human intuition is a big thing, right? And there are a lot of times I'll hear clients talking and be able to say, okay, it sounds like what you're really saying is X.
Like, what's the commitment behind the complaint? What's the why behind the what?
The thing behind the thing, right? And so that's important. I would say if I'm sitting in that executive seat, that 80-20 rule is important, right? If you have 100% support from a person or a thing, it's essentially serving you as a tool.
Wow.
What you want for growth and for enough friction to help you stay strong, right? You don't work out by pressing air. You want some pushback. And so I would say, and this is coming from a body of work called Followership that my PhD, I also co-written a textbook called Ethical Leadership, a primer, right, about followership as well as toxic leadership and the relationship between the two. And so healthy followers are able to provide a mix of challenge and support. The leader, if you're only getting support, and unfortunately that may be what you want, I get it, but just recognize those relationships are no longer human relationships that are going to help you grow. That's a tool.
I've said this multiple times on this show. I don't like playing devil's advocate. He has enough. But if I could step into some 20% here, couldn't I write the instructions for a custom GPT or an AI to push back? Or even in my human relationships in the office, and just say, hey, this is great. I'm glad you like it. If you had to pick something to go wrong with this, what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could still, like, isn't that onus still on the leader? But we'll just say to seek that out, as opposed to just hoping people will be honest or transparent or candorous And might they transfer that hope that they place on the people around them onto whatever AI platform they're using?
Yes, and. Yes, the burden is on the leader to actively seek it out and create systems to get some pushback, because it won't happen without them doing it. Because by nature, we want to keep our jobs. And even in coaching, you can get into people pleasing if you're not really self-aware and if you're not working on that part of yourself as well. You're an Enneagram 8, so that's probably never going to be a danger. But for the other numbers on that thing, it can be an issue. And so I would say, yeah, having human coaches is part of that. And again, part of it too is, and again, this is going to be a little philosophical, but we to distinguish between the real world and the virtual world, right? Executives tend to live in a bubble, and it is a little bit of a virtual bubble. Let's give the boss the feedback that we think the boss wants. Not all the information is going to come up. Part of that's just by necessity, because your head would explode if you knew all the details of your organization. And so having some relationships with some folks where that relationship is designed to challenge you, to push you, as well as to be a real relationship. Because again, you don't know exactly what's going in the algorithm, but I'm convinced it's designed to help make money off of you somehow.
Is that like the saying regarding, say, Facebook or something like that? Like, if the product is free, you are the product?
Yeah.
So is there, someone listening to this could go, oh, well, I guess then I don't need to use AI for anything that's meaningful. Although, according to Sam Altman, who's the current CEO of OpenAI, he said one of the most shocking things that they found around GPT's usage is that people are putting a ton of personal information in. They're using it as a therapist, health-related issues. That was one of the big updates with GPT-5, was increasing the accuracy around health-related issues and redirection there. So if people are using it for their own therapy, to like almost like a journal that talks back to you,
yes,
and their health, those are fairly serious. So, well, if you're talking to a leader, how do you help them not dismiss AI? Because it's here to stay. It's fundamentally changing the way in which we live and work. And I don't hear you saying that, but some people could listen and just take it the other way. What are you advising in terms of the right way to hold AI and how to weight it in a leader's life?
Yeah, I would say the relationship with AI is yes and, right? So yes, it is a tool. It will help you do things faster, and it will give you a breadth of view that you will not be able to get on your own from the people sitting in the room with you, just because it does scrape this huge body of information. Where it's going to struggle, just like we've seen some struggle with the internet as well, is that idea of the connoisseur. Right? The ability to sort that information, figure out what's really helpful, what's really valuable, what's not. And that intuitive leap that human beings are able to make to ask those questions to get to the thing behind the thing. And so you need some real human relationships with folks that can help you do that. Hopefully your spouse can push and help you get to the thing behind the thing. And hopefully we've got enough humility to listen to our spouse when they do that. Your kids will reflect back to you and help you see parts of yourself that you don't really want to see, because you don't like that part of yourself. And doggone it, if you didn't just reproduce that into the world.
Joke.
So it's a yes and relationship. Yeah, I'm reading this morning, there's hope for the mission to Mars that they're planning, that they will be able to have an AI doctor. So yeah, there's great value in it. It can fill in gaps. There will be times that it's going to have, there's this huge communication lag, right? Trying to get back to Earth information and get information back. And if you need split second information, yeah, AI, great. And its limitations.
So it sounds like really do try to position it as a tool in your tool belt. It's not a silver bullet. And it's not a replacement for people. I've heard it doesn't replace, it reinforces. It's a human augmentation to allow us to do more work, more at a higher level, more consistently. At least that's how I've viewed it so far as I've interacted. Is I was like, oh yeah, like I can, maybe I get a moment of clarity. I put my best thinking down and now I suddenly save it and I can have, hey, keep referencing this because this was a really clear thought and I need to keep coming back to this and have it inform everything else instead of just spiraling out. Let's say somebody is engaging with someone like you or I and they're getting some coaching and they say, no, I see the value in having this, and Stan's background or particular expertise is helpful to me, but AI is helpful to me. How does that leader blend the two together for themselves? Is there a, hey, let's get rid of the blinking cursor. I'm going to bake my idea a little bit and then I'm going to go to humans, or do I have the interaction with a human like you and then refine my own thoughts? Like maybe do use it like journal out loud, but it's just a way to get it out of your body so that writing is a very clarifying act. You've written a book, so you would know. How do you think leaders should be approaching that to where it is a yes and or a both and situation? Is there an order of operations that's ideal, that's more helpful, or put this in the AI, but put this over here with my coach? Like, do I hold back?
Yeah, good questions. So I know for my own kind of order of operations, you've helped me build a co-CEO bot. So I'm doing a lot of ideating with that tool. I'll tell you, I've built some business plans. I've acted on some of those. None of them have gone exactly according to plan. But it was helpful for ideating. I can also tell you, because I do write a lot of stuff, sometimes I will just dump my brain into my co-writer bot, right? And say, okay, help me make sense of this. It'll spit it back to me, but that's not going out directly from what the bot gave me. I'm going back over to the human being. So it's the human sandwich or the AI sandwich approach is what I recommend. So
I like that.
The final, whatever the final touch is human.
I really like, yeah, final QA on anything or your decision. That's, I think that's really helpful. I think I've used I have the co-CEO that I showed you and I have a couple of others, and I think it has helped me as well. Ideate, just let me cook through a few of these things and throw out what doesn't work. Or I love the brain dumping, because sometimes it's really hard to identify a pattern in your head. That's why I love going to lunch with people like you, to where as I'm talking, they can see things. It is cliche to say this, but I think it's a really useful cliche. It's tough to read the label from inside the jar, which I think is a large portion of the benefit for professionals like you and me with our clients, is that we're not in the company. We're not on payroll. We're outside the jar and we can reflect some things back. We may not even have special insight. It's just that we repeated it back and somebody can go, oh, and that's what I feel like my AIs do for me. Is I was like, I'm sensing something, like the intuition you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had executives and leaders come to you and say, this happened. I'm sensing this. I keep seeing this thing. Like, man, I want to buy a red Toyota Tundra. Now I'm seeing them all over the traffic. Do they come to you and say, hey, I can't see the pattern here, but maybe it's plain as day to you? Is that an area where we can also balance human AI interaction?
Well, it's definitely part of the value of working with a coach, is helping you see those patterns. And often the executive won't come to me saying, help me see the pattern. They just tell me the story and I can reflect back the pattern. And again, you can do that with AI as well. My concern is, from my experience so far, you can't trust AI as the final product. And that's where people tend to get themselves in trouble, right? The folks who are citing law cases that don't exist.
It's like when WebMD got really popular and everybody walked in with their diagnosis to their doctor and they're like, no, like, have you been bitten by a mosquito in sub-Saharan Africa? They're like, I haven't been outside of the state. Okay, well, then you don't have this disease.
Yeah.
But they're absolutely convinced. Okay, so now I guess coaches and consultants and advisors are gonna about to get a lot of empathy for the medical profession.
Yes, they should. Yeah, they should. Any information profession, it's going to transform that world. We've seen this too with every technological leap that, gosh, think about computers, right? There were human beings who did computation before we had computers, right? And it just changed the nature of how they did those computations or the way they interacted to do the computations, the kinds of computations they were able to do. I remember in my graduate statistics class, being told, if you didn't have this statistical software, a human being could not calculate this. So to a certain extent, that's what I see is a coaching relationships where it's the coach and AI are working together to serve the executive, to help them create transformation in a healthy relationship so they get the results that they want as well as the transformation that they really need.
Gotcha. So I feel like, yeah, I almost should pay you for that transition or segue. Can you talk a little bit about with the coaching profession? Because I have some other coaches, consultants that'll listen to this as well. How are you thinking about how AI from the coach? Like, obviously we've addressed like how the leader may engage with you and then also engage with whatever AI subscription they have. But coming from the coach consultant perspective, how can our profession leverage AI to better serve our clients that are coming to us? What role do you see it playing there? And what does it help us do that maybe we do inconsistently, or maybe we don't do well enough? It's like we can compute things now that maybe just weren't possible with only a human mind.
Yeah, already there are technologies that can easily create transcripts of our coaching calls and assess them for the competencies that are showing up in those calls and how we're doing as coaches and give us feedback of areas that we could make some adjustments and make some improvements. Mm-hmm. That's one. Certainly in the ideating space is when we do get to that place where we're trying to help clients create solutions to also be engaging with AI, generating content while in that conversation. Can also be a very valid way to work, as well as what you're doing. I think what I would call some kind of on-the-spot, quick coaching products are going to be helpful as well. So it's going to be a AI-human partnership.
Gotcha, where you may not just be getting that coach, but maybe they have a custom AI or a set of prompts, something like that can help focus the interaction and the conversation on behalf of the client or the executive.
So a personal thing for me has always been to create an ecosystem for clients. And so the sophistication of that ecosystem has varied over the years. Early on, it might just be a couple books we're going through together that client always has access to, as well as these live coaching calls. And then I discovered Coach Accountable, which is this wonderful platform that I use that's able to send prompts their way and worksheets their way and store files and information. And they continue to have access to it even after the coaching relationship's over, and we can message back and forth through it. So there is this other layer of support. And now with AI, as I think with Coach Accountable, we'd call it asynchronous support, meaning it's not necessarily in real time, those engagements. Here with AI, we can provide a level of real-time support as well as those coaching sessions. And my hope then would be more of a force multiplier when we do it well.
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about that, especially as I'm building my products with Coaching Intelligence and then Coach Kai, which will be the interaction. Some of the clients are already playing around with Coach Kai, which is fun to get some of the feedback. I'm like, oh, dear God, what did it
whoops.
Say?
Yeah,
oh, whoop. I need to have something that says the views expressed by Coach Kai are not necessarily those of Kenny Lane Coaching or his other family members. But got to avoid lawsuits and whatnot. But I saw a statistic that said ICF a couple years ago had done some research and showed that I think is like coaching insights or the coaching impact, whatever a client has walked away from, after about 30 days, 65% of whatever the impact was fades.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about it, I mean, from a business perspective, I'm like, sweet, I get to stay in business because you're just going to need like a little booster shot every 30 days to make sure you don't forget it. But I think this is where also technology can step in to provide, like you were saying with Coach Accountable, those prompts, or we could asynchronously. We don't have to have a full coaching conversation. I may just have like, here's a worksheet for the next phase of cementing and implementation of the plan we discussed together. I know we both take a bit of a co-creation approach to where it's like, I'm not just telling you what to do, but we're going to negotiate what that looks like and the benefit of my perspective.
In theory, I'm never telling you what to do. That is a coach.
Yes.
I'm partnering with
occasionally give some advice.
Yeah. I'm partnering with you, punching you in the mouth, but yes.
Or as one of my clients say, it's like being coached by me is like being lovingly berated.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's a powerful statement that I'm like, I mean, maybe I should just put that on my tombstone. But, well, Stan, I think we could keep going on, and I think that you and I probably need to schedule another coffee and go over some things that are exciting. But if someone's listening to this, and we'll just focus it in on say, that executive leader, that senior leader, you're like, okay, this makes sense. I've been dabbling, or I've just been putting everything ChatGPT. This makes a lot more sense. If somebody wanted to get started with leveraging or including AI in the transformation through healthy relationships, what's something they can do in the next 24 hours, spending little to no money, to make progress towards that?
Yeah, I would start with the human piece. And that is to say, okay, what are the relationships that are most significant to me right now? And what am I doing to make sure I'm preserving those? Because there's a lot of forces that can get in the way of those already just with normal executive life, not to mention how AI can become a distraction from those relationships.
Right. Or it can be tempting to try to replace those just because the AI is more agreeable.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what we're seeing a lot of, especially with young men.
God help it. Yeah. Podcast number 4. Nope. Maybe you and I need to have our own spinoff. We'll have a single season with us. We'll knock it all out in probably a day. It's just an 8-hour recording. So take that, Joe Rogan, in your 3 hours. Get on our level. Yeah. Stan, this is fantastic. I always love talking with you. If people have enjoyed this conversation, they want to know more about you. They want to know where to get the book, How to Beat Burnout for Yourself, Your Family, and Your Team. Where can they connect with you, buy the book, or find out some more about those free resources I mentioned at the top of the show?
Yeah, I would say the easiest way to connect with me is through LinkedIn. It's just Stanley J. Ward. It's simple. Yes, my website, coachingforinfluence.com, CoachingForInfluence.com. Yeah, what was I thinking?
I was about to go MOUSE.
Yes, exactly.
But...
either of those places are a great place to start. Certainly the book is available on Amazon, or you can purchase it directly through my website.
Gotcha. And we have all of that linked up so that you can go and make those connections. So Stan, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. Always a pleasure. This was a huge benefit. And thank you, listeners. You made it this far. Yay! Gold star, if you're into that sort of thing. That's for all my Enneagram 3s.
Yes.
But if you enjoyed this conversation and maybe you've listened to some other ones, please like, rate, review, subscribe, whatever the right action on your platform of choice is. I would deeply appreciate it. Leave a review, leave a comment. I want to know what you're taking away, what sort of conversations you want to hear. I love doing this. This is a lot of fun for me. But at the end of the day, I'm making these episodes for you because I want to add value and help you and maybe be the resource I wish I had when I was coming up. So do whatever you got to do, and also know that when you interact with the show, you get it in front of more people like you who are looking for this sort of content, and that's a free and easy way for you to benefit and give to another leader on their journey. But until next time, change the way you think you'll change now.